Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in Jesus Christ, our Savior, born this night. Amen. This is the night. This is the night that Jesus is born. This is the night that God, the God who freed the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, the God who made covenant with Moses and Israel in Sinai, the God who created the heavens and the earth, this God becomes a fragile, helpless human baby. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. Love incarnate, come to walk among us to show us what it means to live in love. It's a mystery, and the mystery is in the very realness of it, the very humanness of it. A real birth, messy and painful. That's supposed to be that one. Because that's the real birth, right? That's what they really looked like that night. Probably a frightening time for a young wife and husband from far away, far from home, and a real baby crying and nursing and burping and sleeping, and a little family asleep at last in a place that smells of animals. But perhaps they are grateful for the animals' warmth throughout that night. And then there is the very inhuman, the very beyond our experience part of the story. Angels appearing in the fields. Not at the temple where the chief priests and scribes were, not at the synagogue to the rabbis and the learned leaders of the town, but to shepherds, the working class rabble, the uneducated and uncouth shepherds. Angels appearing to announce the birth of the Savior, singing glory to God in the highest heaven. It is a mystery. And sometimes that makes it hard to know just what it really means in our lives. Beyond all the preparation we have done, wrapping presents, baking and eating some cookies, all the busyness that goes with the season, perhaps travel or welcoming people to our homes. And as we enter yet another year of pandemic and political turmoil and violence, in homes and streets and schools, what does this birth 2,000 years ago mean for us? It's a question believers have been asking ourselves for centuries. Origen of Alexandria, a theologian in the 3rd century, said, "What good does it do me if Christ was born in Bethlehem once, if he is not born again in my heart through faith?" 10 centuries later, German scholar and mystic Meister Eckhart said it again. What good is it that Christ was born 1,300 years ago if he is not born now in your heart? And along the same lines, Martin Luther wrote, "Therefore, see to it that you do not find pleasure in the gospel only as history, for that is transient. Neither regard it only as an example, for it is of no value without faith. But see to it that you make this birth your own, and that Christ is born in you. This will be the case if you believe. Then you will repose in the lap of the Virgin Mary and be her dear child." Each of these is encouraging us to make space for Jesus in our lives and our hearts through faith. To welcome the love of God into our lives, to live in the light of God's steadfast love for us. To receive God's forgiveness, which sets us free from fear and shame, to live in love. The incarnation of God as a baby born 2,000 years ago is a mystery. It is beyond our comprehension, and yet, somehow, through Through all the years of hearing this story, we've made it commonplace. We gather on Christmas Eve to light the candles and we sing Silent Night, and our hearts are strangely warmed, and we feel comfort and peace. But Christmas can mean more than that. Christmas can remind us that love is not just that warm, fuzzy feeling of the Christmas spirit, the way everyone seems a little friendlier and more generous this time of year. For Christ to be born in us means that we become little Christs. Luther's words again, little Christs in the world. That we do the hard thing, sharing our resources with those who don't have enough, showing up to care for those who are alone or in need. That we speak the truth, raising up our voice for the sake of those who have no voice. To allow Christ to be born in us means to commit to following Jesus fully and with our whole selves. It's not easy, but it is a work filled with joy and the love and peace of God. It is work that places us squarely in the comforting lap of our loving Mother God. When we look at this baby in the manger and say, "You are my Lord, and I will follow you anywhere and any way to share your love in the world," then is Christ truly born in our hearts this night and each day after. I'm going to leave you with a reading from a beautiful poem by Howard Thurman about the everyday work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky has gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with the flocks, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken in spirit, to feed the hungry, to release the oppressed, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among peoples, to make a little music with the heart, and to radiate the light of Christ every day, in every way, in all that we do and in all that we say. Then the work of Christmas begins. Merry Christmas, my friends.
Merry Christmas.